It's Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levoner. Comedy coming up in this hour from two big names of the era. Later on, the Milton Berle Show from 1948 with a salute to gambling. But right now, the Jack Benny program, as Benny and the cast visited Canada, specifically Toronto, on his birthday, Valentine's Day 1943, on the NBC Red Network.
The Grape Nuts Flakes program, coming to you from Toronto, Ontario, and starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Rochester, yours truly, Don Wilson, and our guest conductor, Alan MacIver, and his all-Canadian orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in our broadcasting history, our program this evening originates outside the borders of the United States.
Yes, sir, we're in Toronto, Canada.
Canada, stretching 3,000 miles from Nova Scotia in the east to Vancouver Island in the distant Pacific.
It's big, all right.
Canada, famous for its farming, its lumbering, its mining, and its fur trapping.
Yep, everything from grizzly bear to skunk.
Which brings us to our master of ceremonies, Jack Benny.
And I had to help him out on that. Oh, well, hello again. This is Jack Benny, the grizzly bear, talking. I've got too much hair tonic on me to be that other animal, you know. And, Don, this is sure a thrill broadcasting from the Dominion of Canada. Look at those uniforms out in the audience. Men from the Royal Canadian Navy, the Canadian Active Army, the Royal Canadian Air Force.
And don't forget the Royal Norwegian Air Force.
Yes, sir. They've all turned out. And I love the people up here in Toronto, Don. They're so friendly, and they go out of their way to make you comfortable.
What do you mean?
Well, for instance, when I arrived in town, it was snowing. So they dug an underground tunnel from the Union Station to the Royal York Hotel just for me. Now, that's real consideration.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jack. That tunnel connecting the Union Station and the Royal York Hotel has been there for years.
It has? Gee.
Of course, everybody knows that.
Oh, my goodness. Then I better rush over there right away.
What's the matter, Jack?
Oh, I've got to take down that sign I put up.
What sign?
Jack Benny Tunnel, admission 10 cents. Gee, people here will think I'm awful, you know?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it. By the way, Jack, are you stopping at the Royal York?
Yes, Dennis and I, and Dennis is a ranger, and my riders, and their riders, and a man named McTavish from Winnipeg, who's in the grain business, we're sharing a lovely room. It has twin beds, of course.
Oh, I see. Does your room overlook Lake Ontario?
I don't know. McTavish always hangs his kilt across the window. Nice chap, though, you know. Come in. Yes?
Mr. Benny, on behalf of the English-speaking population of Canada, I'd like to welcome you to Toronto and present you with this genuine Canadian quarter.
A Canadian quarter? Well, thank you. What's that for?
We want you to spend something while you're up here.
Just for that, I'm going to spend that quarter. McTavish and I are going out to dinner. What's left over, we'll split a cigar. Yes, sirree. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack.
Hello. Well, Mary, are you having fun on our little visit to Canada?
I'll say. And what a beautiful city Toronto is. You know, Jack, yesterday I got on a streetcar and went over to visit my cousin.
Oh, do you have a cousin living here in Canada?
Yeah, Vancouver.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. You can't take a streetcar from Toronto to Vancouver.
That's his name, Vancouver Livingston.
Oh. Well, Mary, we've certainly covered a lot of ground in 1 week, haven't we? Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal.
You said it. And say, Jack, in Montreal, I stayed at the Windsor Hotel, and I slept in the same room that Mrs. Roosevelt had a few days before.
The same room Mrs. Roosevelt had? How do you know?
Well, in the middle of the night, the phone rang. I said, hello.
Yes?
And a voice said, I'm back from North Africa. Where are you?
minute. Well, it must have been Mrs. Roosevelt's room, all right. Huh?
Speaking of Montreal, Mary, isn't that a romantic old city? What food they have?
To Wilson, a bowl of onion soup is romance.
Mary, but you're... but you're right, Don. The food in Montreal is terrific, especially in those little French restaurants.
You ought to stay out of those little French restaurants until you learn to speak the language.
What are you talking about? I parlay Francois Trey Bonnie. And incidentally, Mary, you should have had some of those escargot I ordered. Yum, yum.
Well, I don't like snails.
Snails? Yikes! Holy smoke, I ate three orders of snails.
No wonder you've been walking so slow the last few days.
No, quiet. I can't understand making such a silly mistake while in Waukegan High School, French was my best subject. In fact, we... Come in.
Monsieur Benet?
Oui.
Au nom de la population canadienne-française du Canada, je désire vous souhaiter une cordiale bienvenue à notre beau pays.
Oui, oui, oui.
What's he saying, Jack?
Well, nothing about snails has come up, that I know. Procedez-vous, Mansour. Procedez-vous. Yeah.
Nous pensons que vos remarques sont vraiment drôles.
Oui, oui. Continuez, continuez.
Et nous apprécions à juste titre votre habileté artistique et espérons bien que votre séjour au Canada sera des plus agréables. Bonsoir.
Well, now that was really sweet, really. I mean, sorry. Sorry he got away. Sorry he got away so fast. I would love to have parlayed with him longer, you know?
Well, tell us, Jack, what did he say?
What did he say? He said that, he implied. That is, he more or less suggested. Look, he's gone. We had a nice chat. Now, let's forget. My goodness. Well, Dennis Day. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Well, Dennis, I haven't seen you since we left Ottawa. Did you have a good time there?
Yeah, it was wonderful, and I was sure thrilled when we met the king.
The king? The king?
Yeah, King Mackenzie.
That's Mackenzie King. Listen, that's Mackenzie... That's Mackenzie King. He's the prime minister.
Oh.
And I enjoyed meeting him, too.
You know, Mr. Benny, these Canadian people sure are generous. They really overdo it.
What do you mean, overdo it?
Well, I gave the girl at the cashier's desk a $10 bill, and she gave me $11 change. She must be nuts about me.
Listen, Dennis, she gave you the right change. You see, $10 American for 11 Canadian is international monetary stabilization and is determined through equitable negotiations on the part of the Canadian and American fiscal policy authorities.
You better lay off those snails, brother.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Now, Dennis, in the first place...
No, Jack, stop wasting your breath. Dennis will never get that stuff through his head.
Mary's right. Dennis is too confused to understand such a complicated subject.
Now, wait a minute. Let's be fair about this. Dennis may be a little confused, but he's not dumb. He's not stupid.
Talk is cheap. Let's see you prove it.
Well, there's no use waiting. I'll have to keep that kid in the trunk. Never mind, Dennis. Let's have your song and do a good job. Hold it a minute. Come in.
Monsieur, Mr. Benny. Fellow officer, let me prove it. Mr. Drebrick.
Oui, oui, monsieur.
What? Jack, he's not French. He's a Norwegian flyer.
Oh, a Norwegian flyer. Oh, go ahead, sir.
På vegne av alle gutta I det norske flygevåpen som trener her I Canada og I kamp overseas.
Yes.
Vil jeg gjerne benytte anledningen til å si at vi synes de meget morsom og at vi liker dem meget bedre enn røyka laks.
Well, now, would you mind telling me what you said in English?
Mr. Benny, we Norwegians think you are very funny and we like you much better than smoked whitefish.
Go ahead and sing that.
You'll be so nice. so nice, you'll be paradise to come home to and love. On the stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above, you'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to and love.
You'd be so nice to come home to, sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, that was swell.
Thank you. And Mr. Benny, since today is your birthday, I'd like to dedicate that number to you.
Well.
That's right, Jack. Happy birthday.
Billy Happer returns the day, old boy.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Gosh, another birthday.
No kidding, Mr. Benny. Were you really born on February 14th?
Yep, I was a Valentine baby. Cupid brought me instead of the stork.
Stork?
Huh?
A stork?
Yes.
There's something fishy there, but I'm only guessing.
Dennis, I mean Cupid brought me because I was born on Valentine's Day. But the stork brings everybody else.
Oh, you're a little wrong there, Jack. A crane brought me.
Well, what the... Well, Don, you're an exception. You see, you were a very heavy baby. I understand your nurse had to jack you up to put your diapers on. Well, anyhow, getting back to me, here it is, another birthday.
Say, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Dennis.
Well, I'll probably get slugged for this. But how old are you exactly?
Well, Dennis, let me put it this way. I'm as frisky as a boy of 10. I feel like sweet 16. And I don't look a day older than 25.
Now, just add those up and you got it.
Larry, I'm not 51. I'm in my late 30s, or my early 40s.
You were in your early 40s in the gay 90s.
Never mind. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
I wish I had a nickel for every time Lillian Russell slapped your face.
I said, never mind. Let me be so bold. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to have you meet our guest conductor this week, Mr. Alan McIver from Montreal.
Thank you, everybody.
So your name is Alan McIver, eh? Alan. Do you mind if I call you Al?
Oh, no, not at all.
Thank you. You see, I happen to know a fella named Alan, and just the... Just the mention of his name makes my hair stand on end.
Open your shirt and show him.
I mean the hair on my head. Well, sir, let's have your band number. What's it going to be?
I've prepared a special arrangement of Canadian capers.
Good.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, I don't know if this is the right time to bring it up, but I enjoy your work in pictures very, very much.
You do? Well.
Yes, I saw you and George Washington slept here, and you are wonderful.
Thank you.
Especially Ed Sheeran.
Everybody says that. Incidentally, Mr. McIver, I'm in a new picture now called The Meanest Man in the World. I suppose you'll see that.
Who else is in it?
Well, I have a swell role. You see, I play the part of a young lawyer who is a failure because he's so nice and sweet and kind.
Who else is in it?
And it isn't until I change my character and become the meanest man in the world that I achieve the prominence that I so justly deserve.
Who else is in it?
Priscilla Ray to Rochester. Who do you think is in it? Let's have your number. What a fan. Heaven's sake. All right, folks, Canadian capers.
Just a minute, Jack. Speaking of Canada, I've written a very clever message which involves various cities and towns in this dominion.
Oh, who else is in it? I mean, you have? What's the matter with me?
Yes, it goes something like this. When you come back from the lake, Louise, and when you arrive in port, Arthur...
Well, there's two places already.
I want you both to Toronto, your neighborhood grocer, and ask him for a box of toasty brown sweet as a nut grape nuts flakes.
Toronto, that's not bad. Good.
Now, if you arrive home and find that you've forgotten your grape nuts flakes, Quebec to the store immediately.
Quebec? Quebec to the store?
Yes, because grape nuts flakes in the big 12-ounce economy size package is America's fastest growing flake cereal. Believe me, folks, you ought to try some tomorrow.
Don, that was wonderful. I'm sure you've given the people hella facts about our product. I bet Ruby Stevens hated that one. And now, Mr. McIver, I think you can play. Who's that? Come in. Well, it's the Canadian girl, the French-Canadian soldier, and the Norwegian flyer. What's this for?
Happy birthday, Mr. Benny, and may you have many more of them.
Thank you.
Vous souhaitez une bonne fête, Monsieur Benny. Espérant que vous en aurez beaucoup d'autres.
Merci beaucoup.
Tillit que mes fødselsdagen, jeg håper blir vil oppleve mange flere av dem.
Mangatok. Play, McIver. Gee, your first day in three languages. Ain't I something? Was Canadian Capers, played by Al McIver and his orchestra. And Al, that was very, very good and quite apropos. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since we are in the Dominion of Canada, for our special attraction this evening...
Mary Livingston will read a poem.
Mary Livingston will... Nothing doing, Mary. The poem is out.
You let me read my poem or I'll tell everybody that you think the tunnel from the Union Station to the hotel was dug especially for you.
They know that already.
Then I'll tell them that you're charging a dime to walk through it.
They know that, too.
Do they know you're letting people go through piggyback for 15 cents?
How'd you go through all of that without fluffing a line?
I don't know, Jack.
It's a special rate. That was wonderful. You're very good. Listen. All right, let's have your poem. What's the title of it?
Here's to Canada. It's Army, Navy, Air Force, Merchant Marine, Ferry Command, and the FIMTA.
The FIMTA? What's that?
The fellow I met this afternoon.
Oh. Well, go ahead.
Here's to the land of the maple leaf, our neighbor good and true. Greetings from Don and Dennis and me, and Jack with eyes of blue.
They have been compared to Lake Ontario through McTavish's kilt. Go ahead, Miss Suze. Go ahead.
Oh, Canada, you are so mighty. Your snow-capped mountains are so whitey.
Whitey?
Your air is cold, your wind is bitey. That's why I wear a flannel nightie.
Hey, me too.
Oh, Canada, where seals do play, way up north in Hudson Bay. The Eskimos, they live in igloos and keep their pigs in little pigloos.
Mary, they don't have pigs up there. They eat blubber.
The Eskimos, they live on blubber. It looks like steak, but tastes like rubber.
Well.
The nights up there last half a year. So if you walk in your sleep, take a sandwich and beer.
That's right. That's right. A little midnight snack around the middle of December would be good. Is that all? Is that all, Mary?
No, one more verse.
Okay.
So here's to the land of the maple leaf, our neighbor good and true. Our visit has been wonderful. So thanks. Merci beaucoup.
Very, very good. Very good. Well, Mary, that was a swell poem and a beautiful thought, and I'm sure that goes for all of us. Now, fellas, before I forget it, excuse me, come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I'm an Eskimo, and I have a message for you.
Well, a bald-headed Eskimo. He must have a small entrance to his igloo. What's the message, sir?
On behalf of the Eskimos of Canada, Glub, Ugg, Rickajack, Belwah, Zoc, Powie.
What does that mean?
How do I know? I'm a bellboy at the hotel.
How did Bill Morrow get a job as a bellboy? That's right, the Eskimo didn't show up. Now, fellas, as I started to say, tomorrow night when we do our show, I want you all to be ready by 7 o'clock because immediately afterwards we have to take the train for Chicago. That is, you'll be in Chicago and I'll stay in Waukegan. Meanwhile, now who can that be? Hello?
Bonsoir, monsieur. Sam.
Rochester? Why, Rochester, where did you learn to speak French?
My Montreal mama done told me.
Oh. Well, what do you want, Rochester? What did you call me about?
Well, I'm down here in the tunnel, boss.
In the tunnel?
Yeah, a train just came in from Ottawa. Shall I lower the toll gate?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Rochester. That isn't my tunnel anymore. People can walk through without paying.
This is a fine time to tell me a Scotchman just knocked me cold with a bagpipe.
What?
That Loch Lomond really packs a wallop.
Well, it was all my fault. There's only one thing to do, and that's give the people back their money. Now, how many dimes did you collect?
Only three, boss.
Only three?
Two from a newly married couple who didn't want to stop to argue.
Yes?
And one from a bald-headed Eskimo.
Well, the Eskimo's here, and I'll take care of him. See you later, Rochester. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, say, Rochester, I hope you sent my trunk to the right town. Last week, you sent it to Toledo instead of Toronto.
Don't worry, boss. It's all packed and on its way to Weehawken.
Weehawken?
Maybe it should be Skowhegan.
It's Waukegan. I told you to send the trunk to Waukegan, Illinois. Now, look, get in touch with Weehawken, and then get in touch with Skowhegan, and have him send the trunk to Waukegan.
You better put an Indian on that, boss. Shawnee come from Paz, those names.
You'll do it yourself. Now, Rochester, that trunk isn't in Waukegan. I mean Skowhegan. I mean Waukegan. When I arrive, this will be your finish. Now, remember what I...
Friends, never has it been so important as it is today for you to choose the right foods in feeding your family. Because America's health and America's victory depends on your thoughtful food buying. That's why our government nutrition authorities urge you to buy more whole grain cereals and serve them oftener. Whole grain cereals are plentiful and economical, and they provide nutritional values we all need, including protective minerals and vitamins.
That was the last number of the 20th program in the new Grape Nuts Flakes series. And we'll be with you again next Sunday night, broadcasting from for servicemen in Chicago, Illinois. And I want to say that we have had a marvelous time here in Canada. I'd like to thank the Governor General, Prime Minister Mackenzie King, and all the people of Canada for their splendid hospitality. And also, I would like to wish success to the Canadian food industries. special war savings stamp drive, which is now taking place. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny program is written by Bill Meyer and Ed Beloy.
The Jack Benny Program on Tuned to Yesterday from February 14th, 1943 on the NBC Red Network. The song that Dennis Day sung in that last broadcast, You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To, might be a classic now, but at the time it was a new composition from Cole Porter, written specifically for the film Something to Shout About. The outfit, known as Six Hits and a Miss, made a recording that reached number 11 on the Billboard chart in 1943. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for the Milton Berle Show from February 3rd, 1948. A salute to gambling from NBC.
Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Kirk Kelton, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Mary Shipp, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, our singing star, Dick Barney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallup. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, the city of New York asked permission to conduct a $10 million lottery. In taking up the subject of gambling tonight, we bring you a man who just spent a week in Florida for a change and a rest. The slot machines took his change, and the bookmakers took the rest. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you.
Oh,
you hear that whistling? Sounds like Whistler's brother out there. Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, what a trip I had coming back from Florida. I had to come back by Greyhound.
It wasn't easy. I kept slipping off his back.
Boy, what prices down there. You spend a whole week getting beautiful tan, then they give you the bill and you turn white again. I really mean that. I really went down there, though, to visit my mother. Oh, she's lovely. She's old-fashioned. She sits by a spinning wheel with numbers on it. I mean, well, don't laugh. My mother, she has a wonderful job with the Miami Chamber of Commerce. The minute it starts raining, she runs out to the city limits and nails up a sign that says, Welcome to Los Angeles. Welcome to Los... Your name and address again, please. But I went down to Florida, really, to work. You didn't know that, Mr. Gallup. Yes, I starred at the Copa... I starred at the Copacabana while I was down there. I was a sensation. I ran there for four nights.
Yes, and on the fifth night, the audience caught you. I don't have much to do in this program, but what I do is top-notch.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes it don't come out right. Yes. You seem... Mr. Gallup, you seem so happy tonight, Mr. Yes. Gallup. You must have got up on the right side of your slab this morning. Who gives you those jokes? Henry Morgue? Let us get back to our subject, Mr. Gallup, of tonight, of gambling. I don't suppose that your family in Boston gambled.
Oh, contraire. Our home was a veritable beehive of whist, parcheesi, and spit in the ocean.
Really? Mm-hmm. Was your father a gambler?
Inveterate.
He was?
Mm-hmm. To this day, Dad can't pass a game of chance without wagering a few shillings.
Shilling? Mm-hmm. He uses English money?
Naturally. We came over in the Mayflower, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. So?
Dad still doesn't recognize the present rebel government.
Oh, I see. Awful quiet, isn't it? Maybe this is the rebel government here. You see, your father was a gambler?
Oh, Dad was the toast of Boston sporting crowd.
Was he?
And then the blow fell.
Really, Mr. Gallup? What happened?
Father was accused of fixing a fox hunt.
A fox hunt?
Yes. Father had a big bet riding on the fox.
Oh, I see, on the fox, yes.
Yes, he was accused of trying to dope the hounds.
He doped the hounds?
Someone saw him putting Ovaltine in their kennel ration.
And they nabbed him?
Not until later, when they caught him stuffing cotton up the tally-ho horn.
I see. And what did they do to your father?
They wished upon him the Boston curse.
The Boston curse? What's the Boston curse?
That all his children should go to Yale.
Mr. Gallup, I have heard of life with father, but that routine was death with father. That's all right. You got a lot of talent, but it's in Harry Von Zell's name. But on the... But on with the show tonight as we take up the subject of gambling.
Millions of dollars are won and lost every day in this country.
But it is horse racing that is America's number one gambling sport.
If you must bet on the horses, here are four simple don'ts to always keep in mind.
One,
don't bet on a horse whose jockey is sitting on him backwards.
This shows lack of interest. Two,
don't bet on a horse who shows up at the post with a dollar bill in his mouth.
Yes, this horse is tired and plans on coming home in a cab. Three,
don't fall for those ridiculous stories about horses whispering into people's ears that they feel great and are going to win.
Horses are notorious liars. Four,
don't step on the grass when you arrive at a racetrack.
That grass may be your dinner.
History is studded with great gambles, but the most reckless gamble in all history took place just a year ago when one businessman said to another,
"What do you say, Philip?
Okay, Morris, let's sponsor Milton Berle."
With gambling legalized in such divorce centers as Las Vegas and Reno, more and more women are flocking to the gaming tables. To show you ladies how not to behave in a gambling house, here is Mildred Berle at a roulette table.
All right, ladies, place your bets. Place your bets.
Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! Don't spin that wheel. Hold it. Wait for me. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, you put your money down, and the little ball goes around and around. Oh, I feel so frisky tonight.
Lady, what's your number?
Well, if you must know, it's Plaza 8, 1599. It's a candy store. They'll call me. Ask for Loudmouth. They'll know who you mean.
Lady, do you want to play?
Do I want to play?
I'm ready. Spin the bottle. I mean, spin the wheel.
What I said, with this kisser, too. Mildred, you gay divorcee.
Lady, I'm not interested in you.
Who is? Nobody loves me. Not even my husband. I'm charging him with mental cruelty. Mental cruelty. He used to beat my brains in.
Lady, please.
Oh, why didn't I get along with my husband? He was so wonderful. He put me on a pedestal. He said it was easier to throw rocks at me that way.
Lady, I'm spinning the wheel.
Don't spin the wheel. Well, I get my number. I'll take number three. I'm sentimental. That's my husband's hat size. He used to cut a hole in the top for the point. Well, spin the wheel. What are you waiting for?
Your money.
My money! I forgot. Where's my purse? Oh, here's my purse. Oh, it's still in your purse. It's still... I was loaded, wasn't I?
Lady, please.
Well, wait till I pick up my things. Let's see. Here's my stockings with the built-in calves. Here's my shaving kit, a pound of putty, my framed picture of Elmo Lincoln, a copy of Zit. What's this? Well, what do you know? The rear end of our old Essex. I kept telling my husband I felt something was dragging. And he kept saying it was me.
Lady, will you bet on a number?
I know, I'll bet the number of my age, 18. There, 10 cents on 18. Spin the wheel. There it goes. Oh, I can't look. There it is. Number 18 wins.
No, lady, the winner is number 52.
52?
Yes.
52. Oh, twaddle. If I'd have bet my rate age, I would have won. Oh, you beast. That's what you are. You're nothing but a beast.
Ladies and gentlemen, you too may have the symptoms of cigarette irritation without even realizing it. For example, that tight, dry feeling you sometimes get in your throat from smoking, or that occasional cough, or that musty, stale taste in your mouth. Now, perhaps it never occurred to you, but all these may be symptoms of cigarette irritation.
Finished it, and that, not yet. I'm looking over Four Leaf Clover, played by Ray Block and Philip Morris Orchestra. And Ray, that was swell. I won't say that you are the rich man's Harry Hollick. I won't say that you are the poor man's Lud Gluskin. What I will say is that you're nobody's Ray Block. But I want to thank you, Ray Block, for sticking with me. Ray Block had a better offer. He did. He had an offer to go to Switzerland to sell brass knuckles to the Olympic team. But let's not scatter it. Everyone applaud together, please. Please, this is not a dramatic show, but let us continue. Sometimes I think it is. But let us continue with our subject tonight of gambling as we present...
Gambling Forum tonight. Gambling Forum tonight. The question, will gin rummy ever take the place of the honeymoon?
I laid 8-5 on that one. I win. Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Let us proceed now with questions from our audience. Let's start with this gentleman in the aisle unloading the Eisenbutton. Don't go away. When you're not laughing, I get nervous, you know. All right, what is it you want, sir? This man that's standing here gazing at me as if I'm not ad-libbing.
Mr. Burrell, I'm opening...
That's the name, Mr. Burrell.
How do you do, sir?
I'm glad to see you.
I'm opening...
What are you made up for, kid? You have makeup all over your face. Are you in another show?
The Lost Weekend.
The Lost Weekend? I saw that picture and I take an oath never to see another picture like that again.
Mr. Burrell, I'm opening...
That's my name, Mr. Burrell, yes.
I'm opening...
I don't think we can top that. You can go. Please, this is a gambling forum tonight. Now, let's start with this gentleman that walked over to me on his knees. Gentlemen. This gentleman with the handlebar mustache and the bicycle clips on his nose. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Petrillo.
Petrillo?
They name me that because I'm a champion runner.
A champion runner? So they name you Petrillo?
I'm always breaking records.
I see what you mean, I see.
My name used to be Ray Block.
Ray Block?
I had to change it. It was damaging my reputation.
Why?
People thought I was associated with Milton Berle.
Well, that would do it. That would do it.
But I like my old name best.
You do?
People used to take off their hats and stand at attention when I showed up.
What was your old name?
Lucy Monroe.
All right, Lucy, you have a question that has to do with gambling.
Gambling? Why, are you turning the place into a gambling joint?
No, I
What's
just...
the matter? The comedy didn't go so good, so you got to try another racket?
No, look,
I... could have told you last year you weren't going to last.
That's not...
If you saw your latest Hoover rating, you wouldn't gamble. You'd save it.
Now, wait
Nothing's
a minute.
Nothing's going to help you unless you blow and make Frank Gallup the star of the show.
No, no, no.
Nothing's going to help you even if you should NBC for Big Town Original Joke.
Please.
Are your mother's spinning wheels?
We must not let ourselves be carried away. Let's hear from a woman in the audience. All right, this lady in the third row chopping liver with her spiked shoes. Young lady, what is your name?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
See? And you have a question that concerns gambling?
Yeah, why is my husband such a gambler? He spends all his time at the Upper White Plains Poker, Pinochle, and Fisher-Pasher Club.
Your husband likes to make bets?
They call him Feeney the Plunger.
He's a gambler?
He's a plumber.
Oh, I see. Is he a big bettor?
Yeah, he plays for buttons.
He plays for buttons?
He has to. He's always losing his pants.
He's crazy about card games, eh?
It's awful. If he can't find anybody else, he sits home and plays gin rummy with our dog.
Your dog? Must be a smart dog.
Nah, he's stupid. My husband beats him 2 out of 3.
Mrs. Feeney, doesn't your husband ever win?
Yesterday, he came home with a tremendous pot.
I see. He had a big winner?
He had a big dinner.
Did your husband ever win at the racetrack?
Did anybody?
See what you mean. I see what you mean.
Once my husband tried to fix a race.
Fix a race?
He gave the horse Benzedrine, 6 hypodermics, and put feathers under the saddle.
Did he win?
No, but he was the happiest horse in the race.
The horse didn't finish?
Are you kidding? That horse was so high, he came in at LaGuardia Airport.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. Of our forum tonight, it is an honor to present one of America's great professional gamblers, a man of reckless daring and ferocious strength when aroused. None other than Nick Bettermillion Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. I shall always treasure this moment. A glorious opportunity to say hi there to the thousands of people who have come to me filthy with money and who have gone home cleaned out.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Merrill. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way here, I picked up a piece of taffy off the sidewalk. I think I strained myself.
But, Mr. Featherfield, a piece of taffy isn't heavy.
This one had a tooth in it.
Oh, that's different. Mr. Featherfield, how did you come to be a gambler?
My father was a dealer in a gambling house. He was a self-made man.
Really? He started from the bottom up?
Yes, and that's the way he dealt.
Mr. Featherfield, your father was crooked?
My father was so crooked. When he died, they just screwed him into the ground.
Your father passed away?
We lost Dad in a crap game.
A crap game?
Yes, he just kept fading until he disappeared.
Ah, Mr. Featherfield, to you, life is just a game of chance.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's how I won my wife. I took a chance on a raffle. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to get a turkey.
And?
I ain't dead.
What?
I ain't dead.
Mr. Featherfield, that's ridiculous. Saying that you couldn't tell your wife from a turkey.
Mr. Burrell, have you ever seen my wife?
No.
Then shut up.
Mr. Featherfield, your wife still mistreats you?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
No?
When my wife smeared me last night, she had a reason.
Mr. Featherfield, you've been bad again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened?
Well, last night...
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't be telling you.
Oh, come on. What happened?
Well, last night, I didn't roll home until 8:30.
8:30? That's not very late.
Well, you don't understand. She'd only given me a 2-hour pass.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. Tonight, we're discussing gambling. And you know, one of the great American institutions is the friendly little poker game at home. You know, the games that go on and on until the loser is even? Well, last week, the night before I was to leave for Florida, I was having some friends from the Friars Club come over to my house, and my wife and I...
Milton, if you're going to catch that plane in the morning, you better get some sleep.
You're right, darling. I open at the Copacabana tomorrow night, and I don't want to get there so tired that I fall asleep in front of my audience.
That would make it unanimous.
That would make it unanimous. I wonder what's keeping the boys.
Now, remember, try to get those poker fiends to go home before midnight.
Poker fiends? who mentioned poker? We'll probably just sit around and talk about literature and modern painting. Oh, there they are. I want you to meet them, dear. Come in. Hiya, fellas. This is my wife. I'd like you
Why
to...
Why isn't the card table up?
Where's the chips? Who deals?
Cut the card. Wait a minute.
Come on, let's go. We ain't got much time. I got to meet a guy for lunch tomorrow.
Okay, sit down, Joe, Mike, Pete. There, I'll deal. The usual stakes, eh?
Yeah, $10 ante.
$20 to open.
$40 limit.
Yeah, we settled for 2 cents on the dollar. I'll deal. We'll have to break it
Up at midnight, boys.
Ah, this is what I like. Straight poker. Nothing fancy.
I'll open for two.
Oh, no. That knock. No, that's our neighbor Sam Harrison and his wife Martha.
Get rid of them.
Oh, I'll try. Come in.
Hiya, Milton. When I heard you were leaving for Florida, I said, let's go over and say goodbye. Didn't I, Martha?
Yes.
Hello, Martha. Look, Sam, I'm busy. Drop around again sometime.
Oh, poker!
Sam, please.
Why, I'd rather play poker than eat, wouldn't I, Martha?
Yes.
Look, Sam, would you...
Introduce me to the suckers, Milty.
Boys, this is my neighbor, Sam Harrison.
Hello.
And this is his wife, Martha. She's really a wonderful gal.
Yes.
Look, Sam.
Give me those cards, I'll deal. We'll start off with a round of Missouri Red Dog High-Low.
Missouri Red...
Everything up to the 10 is wild. Count one-eyed jacks as aces and aces as queens. First king to show doubles the ante, and the four of spades kills the hand.
Sam, you don't understand. We just like to play a simple game.
Good, I'll deal a round of Mexican 12 cards, slap the deck.
Mexican...
8 cards down, 3 up, and you keep one in your hat. If you get an ace, you slap the deck and yell Chihuahua.
Wait a minute, Sam. Look, we're just playing 5-card stud.
What's that?
It's a new game Columbus brought over. I'll deal.
Boys, you won't mind Martha standing around. She loves to kibitz, don't you, Martha?
Yes.
Your bet, Joe.
I bet... Hey, does this dame have to stand this close behind me?
Yes.
Come on, Joe, bet.
I bet $1.
I raise $1.
I raise you $1.
He must have aces back to back.
Yes.
Gave away his card, didn't you, Martha?
Yes.
Martha, you shouldn't. Boys, please, don't go.
Come on, fellas, let's get out of here before we're rolling.
Boys, don't be... Sam... See what you did. Them, my friends from the Friars. Now they'll make Henny Youngman president.
Maybe Martha's always doing that. Say, Martha.
Yes?
Isn't that how you got that scar over your eye?
Yes.
Look, I have to catch the plane for Florida in the morning. I better hit the hay.
Milty, you can't quit. I'm $2 loser.
So, Sam, my eyes are closing. Here's the $2.
No, I want to win it. When I lose, I mope around the house for a week without once opening my mouth. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
All right. Win the money, get even. Deal.
Yeah. You open?
Yes, I'll bet $2.
I call.
Good. Take the money.
Wait, what have you got?
A measly pair of deuces.
I have 4 aces.
Well, that's 12. Take the money.
You win.
But, Sam, a measly pair of...
We're playing Yukon 8-card high boy Cadoodle.
Cadoodle?
With deuces wild, your 5 of clubs counts double, and with your whole card of 2-8 choice, you've got a royal flush.
I have a royal flush, a measly pair of Sam. Take the money.
Milty, I'm not leaving until I'm even.
Take the money.
How about a round of sheepherders, double shuffle ace, high Liverpool?
Take the money.
All red cards wild.
Take the money.
The queen of spades doubles the ante.
Take the money.
The first ace is thrown up and thrown in the dealer's face.
Take the money.
Wake up, Milty. You bet.
Huh? Sam, look, it's 5 in the morning.
So what? Martha and I can stay up for 3 nights in a row without feeling it. Can't we, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, my plane, Florida. I have to quit. Take the money. Get even.
Ah, I got you now, Milty. I bet $10.
No, I raise you 10. There, take the pot and you'll be even.
Good. What have you got?
We're playing straight poker, eh?
Right.
Nothing wild and nothing fancy.
Right. What have you got?
Nothing. Take the money. See, no pairs, no flush, no straight. The highest card in my hand is an 8.
Beats me. I got a 7.
Sam!
Let's change the game to hack and sack, high hand, low boy with 6 cards on the floor.
Sam, my plan.
First ace pays double.
Sam.
Deuces count half.
Sam.
Low man splits with the dealer.
Sam.
Jack of diamonds wild.
Go home.
Raising only on a 6 higher
floor. Go home.
Second ace gets half the kitty.
Go home.
The dealer is blind.
Go home.
Fasten your
take it up, please.
Hostess, hostess, how much longer?
We're landing in Miami in 5 minutes.
5 minutes? We can finish this hand. I got nothing, Sam. I got nothing, just 5 cards.
Beats me again. I've only got 4.
You're a lucky guy, eh, Martha?
Yeah.
Go home. Jump off the plane, will you? Go home.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
By Matt Heisman and Aaron Rubin. Mrs. Frank Ellis saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
The Milton Berle Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the 3rd of February, 1948 on NBC. And that closes this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVernier. Thanks for tuning in.